Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a long purport. Translation first. All the sages, like Parvata Muni, Narada, Daumya, Vyasa, the incarnation of God, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja, and Parashurama, and disciples, Vasishta, Indra, Pramada, Trita, Gritsamada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, and Sudarshana were present. Take note, we'll be testing you later. Who was present? Okay, purport. I've been requested to go through about half of the purport. We're getting elaborations on who these persons are. Parvata Muni is considered to be one of the oldest sages. He's almost always a constant companion of Narada Muni. They are also spacemen competent to travel in the air without the help of any material vehicle. Parvata Muni is also a devarshi, or a great sage amongst the demigods, like Narada. He was present along with Narada at the sacrificial ceremony of Maharaj Janamejaya, son of Maharaj Parikshit. In this sacrifice, all the snakes of the world were to be killed. Parvata Muni and Narada Muni are called Gandharvas also because they can travel in the air singing the glories of the Lord. Since they can travel in the air, they observed Draupadi's Svayamvara ceremony, selecting of her own husband from the air. Like Narada Muni, Parvata Muni also used to visit the royal assembly in the heaven of King Indra. As a Gandharva, sometimes he visited the royal assembly of Kuvara, one of the important demigods. Both Narada and Parvata were once in trouble with the daughter of Maharaj Srinjaya. Maharaj Srinjaya got the benediction of a son by Parvata Muni. Don't ask me for details on this being in trouble with Maharaj Srinjaya. That's all that Prabhupada says. Narada Muni is inevitably associated with the narrations of the Puranas. He is described in the Bhagavatam. In his previous life, he was the son of a maidservant, but by good association with pure devotees, he became enlightened in devotional service. And in the next life, he became a perfect man comparable with himself only. In the Mahabharata, his name is mentioned in many places. He's the principal devarshi, or the chief sage among the demigods. He's the son and disciple of Brahmaji, and from him the disciplic succession in the line of Brahma has been spread. He initiated Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and many celebrated devotees of the Lord. He initiated even Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures. And from Vyasadeva, Madhvacharya was initiated. And thus, the Madhva Sampradaya, in which the Gaudiya Sampradaya is also included, has spread all over the universe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to this Madhva Sampradaya, therefore Brahmaji, Narada, Vyasa, down to Madhva, Chaitanya, and the Goswamis, all belonged to the same line of disciplic succession. Narada Ji has instructed many kings from time immemorial. In the Bhagavatam, we can see that he instructed Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother And he instructed Vasudeva, father of Krishna, as well as Maharaj Yudhisthira. Daumya, a great sage who practiced severe penances at Utkochaka Tirtha and was appointed royal priest of the Pandava kings. He acted as the priest in many religious functions of the Pandavas, samskara, and also each of the Pandavas was attended by him at the betrothal of Draupadi. He was present even during the exile of the Pandavas and used to advise them in circumstances when they were perplexed. He instructed them how to live incognito for 1 year, and his instructions were strictly followed by the Pandavas during that time. His name is mentioned also when the general funeral ceremony was performed after the Battle of Kurukshetra. In the Anushasana Parvan of Mahabharata, he gave very elaborate religious instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was actually the right type of priest for a householder, for he could guide the Pandavas on the right path of religion. A priest is meant for guiding the householder progressively in the right path of ashrama dharma, or the occupational duty of a particular caste. There is practically no difference between the family priest and the spiritual master. The sages, saints, and brahmanas were especially meant for such functions. Bhadarayana Vyasadeva. He is known as Krishna Dvaipayana, Satyavati Sutta, Parasharya, Parasharatmaja, Bhadarayana, Vedavyasa, etc. He was the son of Mahamuni Parashara in the womb of Satyavati prior to her betrothal with Maharaj Shantanu, the father of the great general, grandfather Bhishma. He is a powerful incarnation of Narayana, and he broadcasts the Vedic wisdom to the world. As such, Vyasadeva is offered respects before one chants the Vedic literature, especially the Puranas. Shukadev Goswami was his son, and rishis like Vaishampayana were his disciples for different branches of the Vedas. He is the author of the great epic Mahabharata and the great transcendental literature, Bhagavatam. The Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutra, or Bhadarayana Sutras were compiled by him. Among sages, he is the most respected author by dint of severe penances. When he wanted to record the great epic Mahabharata for the welfare of all people in the age of Kali, he was feeling the necessity of a powerful writer who could take up his dictation. By the order of Brahmaji, Sri Ganeshaji took up the charge of noting down the dictation on the condition that Vyasadeva would not stop dictation for a moment. The Mahabharata was thus compiled by the joint endeavor of Vyasa and Ganesha. By the order of his mother, Satyavati, who was later married to Maharaj Shantanu, and by the request of Bhishmadeva, the eldest son of Maharaj Shantanu, by his first wife, the Ganges, he begot three brilliant sons whose names are Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. You're cheating. The Mahabharata was compiled by Vyasadeva after the Battle of Kurukshetra and after the death of all the heroes of Mahabharata. It was first spoken in the royal assembly of Maharaj Janamejaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit. Brihadashva, an ancient sage who used to meet Maharaj Yudhisthira now and then, First of all, he met Maharaj Yudhishthira at Kamyavana. This sage narrated the history of Maharaj Nala. There is another Brihadashva who is the son of the Ikshvaku dynasty. Bharadvaja. He is one of the seven great sages, rishis, and was present at the time of the birth ceremony of Arjuna. The powerful rishi sometimes undertook severe penances on the shore of the Ganges, and his ashram is still celebrated at Prayagadama. It is learned that this rishi, while taking bath in the Ganges, happened to meet Dhritachi, one of the beautiful society girls of heaven, and thus he discharged semen, which was kept and preserved in an earthen pot and from which Drona was born. So Drona Acharya is the son of Bharadvaja Muni. Others say that Bharadvaja, the father of Drona, is a different person from Maharshi Bharadvaja. He was a great devotee of Brahma. Once he approached Dronacharya and requested him to stop the battle of Kurukshetra. Parashurama or Renuka Sutta. He is the son of Maharshi Jamadagni and Shrimati Renuka. Thus he is also known as Renuka Sutta. He is one of the powerful incarnations of God, and he killed the Kshatriya community as a whole. How many times? 21 times. With the blood of the Kshatriyas, he pleased the souls of his forefathers. Later on, he underwent severe penances at the Mahendra Parvata. After taking the whole earth from the Kshatriyas, he gave it in charity to Kashyapa Muni. Parashuram instructed the Dhanurveda, or the science of fighting, to Dronacharya because he happened to be a Brahmana. He was present during the coronation of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and he celebrated the function along with other great rishis. Parashurama is so old that he met both Rama and Krishna at different times. He fought with Rama, but he accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also praised Arjuna when he saw him with Krishna. When Bhishma refused to marry Amba, who wanted him to become her husband, Amba met Parashurama. And by her request only, he asked Bhishma Deva to accept her as his wife. Bhishma refused to obey his order, although he was one of the spiritual masters of Bhishma Deva. Parashurama fought with Bhishma Deva when Bhishma neglected his warning. Both of them fought very severely, and at last, Parashurama was pleased with Bhishma and gave him the benediction of becoming the greatest fighter in the world. Vasishta, the great celebrated sage among the Brahmanas, well known as the Brahmarshi Vasishta Deva. He is a prominent figure in both the Ramayana and Mahabharata periods. He celebrated the coronation ceremony of the personality of Godhead Sri Rama. He was present also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He could approach all the higher and lower planets, and his name is also connected with the history of Hiranyakashipu. There was a great tension between him and Vishvamitra, who wanted his Kamadenu, wish-fulfilling cow. Vasishtha Muni refused to spare his Kamadenu, and for this Vishvamitra killed his 100 sons. As a perfect Brahmana, he tolerated all the taunts of Vishvamitra. Once he tried to commit suicide on account of Vishvamitra's torture, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. He jumped from a hill, But the stones on which he fell became a stack of cotton. And thus he was saved. He jumped into the ocean, but the waves washed him ashore. He jumped into the river, but the river also washed him ashore. Thus all his suicide attempts were unsuccessful. He is also one of the seven rishis and husband of Arundhati, the famous star. And Indra Pramada, another celebrated rishi. That's all that's said about Indra Pramada, and the remainder of the purport we leave for the next speaker of the Bhagavatam, next reader. All the sages like Parvati Muni, Narada, Domya Vyasa, the incarnation of God, Brihadashva, Brihadvaja, and Parashurama, and disciples Vasishta, Indra, Pramada, Trita, Gritsamada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, and Sudarshana were present. The chapter is entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma, and of course this is the central event of this chapter. Or is it the central event of this chapter? We might say that the central event is that Bhishma is meeting Krishna. Or we could say that it is both. We could say that he is meeting Krishna, and his meeting with Krishna is the beginning of his continuing to be with Krishna after his death. A few weeks ago, I had the good fortune, Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gornitai Ki. A few weeks ago, or months, I had the good fortune to go to Kurukshetra, north of Delhi, and have darshan of the various special places around Kurukshetra. Who has been there among you? A few of you. I encourage you, when you get a chance, the rest of you, most devotees kind of, they go to Delhi and go immediately south to Vrindavan, which is quite appropriate, but sometime you might want to take a journey north to be in the place that Srila Prabhupada insisted is a physical place where a real battle took place. And one of the shrines in this area, it's a kind of diorama, more than a temple, I would say, an exhibit of Bhishma Dev lying, reclining on the bed of arrows, surrounded by the five Pandavas, and Lord Krishna is there, and so many, the sages and so on. And it's an interesting portrayal of Bhishma. What struck me in particular was that in their rendition of Bhishma, he is lying there with his shoes on. His chappals are on. His feet are up and his chappals are on. But apparently that's the way a warrior should die, should leave the body. So Bhishma is there, and of course the special, in a sense, who is the most important person present here? We can say it is Krishna. We may also say it is Yudhishthir, because it's Yudhishthir who's going to be asking question and being addressed by Bhishma. Now, here's a question for you. I'd be curious what some of you might answer. If you would be in this situation. Somehow or other, let us say you were among the shishyas of, who is it, Bharadvaja. Somehow or other, you are also present, and somehow or other, you have opportunity to ask Bhishmadev a question. And you only get one question. What would your question be? Would you have a question for him? Everyone's silent. Yes. Oh, if you can have more questions. Okay, that's a trick question. Any others? Anyone else would have a question? You would have to think about it, right? What is the question you would have? Yes, Ruben. How did Bhishma feel being on the opposite side of Krishna? Okay. Well, in one sense, we get an answer to that question, though, isn't it? Later in this chapter, as he's speaking his memory of those moments at the end when he is encountering Krishna, we could say that is his feeling. His feeling of intense devotion, that Krishna is approaching him in the mood, in the intense mood that he is approaching him. Any other question? How does he feel just before, knowing he's about to die? Okay, that's interesting. We get to how do you feel? How does it feel, Bhishma, to be you? Yes. 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 What is your secret behind your steady determination to carry out your vow? Very nice, yes. The vow which caused the demigods, when they heard the vow, to exclaim, Bhishma! This is an exclamation. His name, Bhishma, is an exclamation. It's like saying, oh my God! That's his name. Any others? Any other questions you would have? Well, Yudhishthira, of course, has his question, or rather, his problem. His problem, he feels himself to be terribly, terribly sinful, because he sees himself to be the cause of all of the deaths that have happened on the battlefield. This was very much the anticipation of Arjuna, isn't it? Arjuna, in chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, is complaining to Krishna about the consequences of what is going to happen. Well, we may come back to that, but let's back up and focus a little on the verse, which is giving us a list of so many rishis, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the previous purport that Bhishmadeva is himself a rishi. He refers to him as a Brahmarishi. One might want to say he's a Rajarishi, but Brahmarishi. So we have all of these rishis and great personalities. Aside from their being rishis, could we say anything what they all have in common? What do they all have in common? Yes. Okay, they all attend, they all assemble at such great events as these. It's like they all seem to have this spirit of wherever there's some important event happening, I have to be there. And what's an important event more important than the passing of Bhishma. What else? Anything else about them? Yes. Deva. Okay, yes, that's interesting. They all had some relationship with the Pandavas, and therefore they felt connection with them, and certainly in one way or another they felt some connection with Bhishma Deva. And you make an interesting point. There's something like a family connection there. Indeed, what we get in the Bhagavatam in many respects when we read about the extended family of Krishna and all of the successions that are going on, the several hundred names that we hear, we may not feel any connection to so many of them. They're so obscure for us, but they're part of Krishna's family. And in a sense, what the Bhagavatam is doing is inviting us to be part of that family, such that if one joins that family, one will in some way or other come to know, oh yes, there's Parvatamuni, there's Narada, oh look, over there there's Domya, and so on. What else can we say is in common amongst these names, amongst these persons? They're all situated in the mode of goodness, okay. Anything else? Yes,
Tara. They have very long
lives. They have very long lives. Okay, very good. Okay, this is a momentous moment because they're seeing Bhishma with Krishna, and you're saying they're anticipating how Krishna is going to respond. Now I have a further question to that. Is Krishna going to respond? Is he going to speak in this chapter? He's going to be silent. As he is silent, in response to Queen Kunti. Kunti offers so many wonderful prayers, and then what does Krishna do? He's silent. And he's also silent here. What is this silence of Krishna, we may wonder? Why is it? How is it that Krishna is silent? I propose that the reason Krishna is silent, or why the Bhagavatam only reports of his silence, is because, especially in this first canto of Bhagavatam, there's essentially two things happening. One is there are meetings. There are gatherings such as this, and this gathering reminds me of another gathering which is described earlier in the Bhagavatam, and that is the gathering of the sages of Naimisharanya. They're all assembling around Suta Goswami. Similarly here, they're all assembling around Bhishma. So there is the coming together. There are meetings. And the most important meeting of the Bhagavatam first canto is going to be which meeting? Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami at the very end. So one thing that happens is meetings, and something else happens in this canto. What is that? Departures. And the main departure. What is the main departure? Some say Bhishma, some say Krishna. Yes, the departure of Krishna. Krishna has already left, that is said in the third chapter, and yet here he is again. There are departures. There are meetings and there are departures. The Bhagavatam is, of course, in many respects, a summary of the pastimes of the Lord. And so we cannot say, maybe Krishna did speak something. We might want to refer to the Bhagavatam. It's certainly a summary of Bhishma's teachings, because Bhishma's teachings in the Mahabharata, in Shanti Parvan, covers over 300 chapters. In this chapter of Bhagavatam, the teachings that Bhishma gives cover, as far as I remember, one or two verses. That says something about the Bhagavat, what the Bhagavatam is saying is important about Bhishma Dev. What's important is not so much what he was teaching. What is important is his relationship with Krishna. And that is being brought out in this chapter. And that is what great souls who are assembled here have come to witness. Now, about this idea that the Bhagavatam is a summary of Krishna's pastimes, lately I've been intrigued by something that Srila Prabhupada had commented at the end of a class in 1968 in Los Angeles. I brought this up in Mayapur. I was asked to give a class, Bhagavatam class, which was for the exclusively for the sannyasis, gurus, and GBCs. Imagine how intimidating it would be to give a class to that collection of devotees. That's what they asked me to do. In any case, I decided to try to get them thinking a little bit. And that's what we want to do with you as well. Considering this comment from Srila Prabhupada after a woman, unidentified, asked Srila Prabhupada a question. The question she asks seems to be not at all related to anything Srila Prabhupada spoke in his lecture. Nonetheless, Prabhupada seemed happy to reply. Woman, is there anyone similar to Joan of Arc in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada, Woman, are you familiar with Joan of Arc? She was a saint. Prabhupada, yes. Woman, is there any person in the Srimad Bhagavatam similar to her? Prabhupada, you want to see Joan of Arc in Srimad Bhagavatam? Why don't you take Joan of Arc of Srimad Bhagavatam? Any activities of devotees, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. What do you mean by Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, Bhagav. This word comes from Bhagavan, Bhagavata, Bhagavata Shabda. The word is Bhagavata. And pertaining to Bhagavata is Bhagavata. So, Bhagavata can be expanded to any unlimited. So, anything in relationship with God, that is Bhagavatam. So, if Joan of Arc, she was in relationship with God, she is also Bhagavatam. You should expand Bhagavatam in that way. Yes. Interesting. So this was, as far as I know, the last time that Srila Prabhupada spoke about Joan of Arc, the last time this subject came up. But the point that he makes about expanding Bhagavatam in terms of anyone in relation to God strikes me as interesting, not only interesting, but important. It strikes me that this is what the Krishna consciousness movement is about, and this is what it is for us to try to understand and realize as we read Srimad Bhagavatam. One might, for example, wonder, I confess, I wondered, after all of these sages have attended this meeting of Bhishma and Yudhisthira and Krishna, they were all listening. What would they have reported to others about what they experienced, what they heard, what they saw? One of the persons present mentioned here is Vyasadeva. And this is interesting because we understand Vyasa is the author of the Bhagavatam. So Vyasa is playing a dual role here. He's the author and simultaneously he's in the Bhagavatam, as is the case with the Mahabharata, because of course he's very involved in the story of the Mahabharata, because after all he is the father of who? The three personalities? Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura, who are very important figures in the Bhagavatam. He's their father, and he's writing the story. Similarly, he's in the Bhagavatam, and he's writing the Bhagavatam. That's interesting. And beyond that, there are all these sages. What would they be telling? What can we tell after reading the Bhagavatam? What can we tell? What is our preaching such that we are including, that we are connecting those we speak with to the Bhagavatam as the totality that the Bhagavatam is, as Srila Prabhupada is saying in this comment. The Bhagavatam is that which has to do with persons who are related to God. Well, then we come back to the Bhagavatam proper, we may say, and we feel safe and sheltered, so to say. We have the translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And what we have here, we say, that is Bhagavatam. But again, Prabhupada is challenging us. He's saying the Bhagavatam is all of this and more. And I want to suggest this is for us to think deeply about, to appreciate how the Bhagavatam is not sectarian, how the teachings of the Bhagavatam is not sectarian. And that, we may say, is also indicated by the fact that all of these sages are present. These are the cosmic personalities. One of them, Narada, is from our sampradaya, but not all of them. There are others of, we may say, other sampradayas. So these are some thoughts that came to my mind. And I will stop there and see if you have further thoughts.